right, so for the record, at this time, we're taking up State of Washington versus James Fair. 15-1202-1 is the case number. The record should reflect that we are in open court with access to and for the public this morning. Mr. Fair is present. Mr. Pigeon, gentlemen, you decided to drive over instead of up here telephonically.
Yes, Your Honor.
So that's fine. Welcome. Mr. Platter's here with Detective Sloan. So the record reflects, I think for purposes of today, we can kind of start with the court's letter to counsel that's dated May 30, 2018. And in that letter, I mentioned that in light of the defense's motions to dismiss, to suppress, and then also as anticipated in limine, that that there were two issues that I needed before I could before I felt I could rule. One of those we've now completed, and that's the deposition of Mr. Abrantes. And the other one then involves Detective Sloan and the court's really needing to flesh out this whole loss of evidence, or loss of potential exculpatory evidence. I guess that's how I'd sort of characterize it. And specifically, it has to do then with Mr. Abrantes' phone and being taken into custody by law enforcement, a so-called phone dump, if I can use that term, an extraction of data from the phone, subsequent return of the phone, and then subsequent to that, Detective Sloan learning of losing her computer crashed, I guess, and so now that evidence is lost. So all of that has been asserted, okay, but it's really not officially before the court. And so the second part of the court's inquiry in that letter from May 30th, I ask that Detective Sloan appear and we get his testimony for the record so that it is before the court. And so I think my hope this morning, Mr. Platter, is if you'll call Detective Sloan as a witness, he'd be placed under oath, and then really this would be no different than an evidentiary hearing where, similar to a 3.6 hearing where there'd be testimony in support of admissibility of evidence. So that's how I see this morning. I don't anticipate this taking us a long time. I don't think it's going to be any sort of a discovery, a broad discovery type of testimony. I really intend to limit it just to the issue of the phone. You clear about that?
Yes, Your Honor, and that's all the state's prepared to address today, just the court's questions and the timeline of events.
Pigeon, does that seem to you like where we're at?
Yes, Your Honor, I understand those limits. I would like to call the court's attention to two aspects of the record that I think you did raise in your letter. One is the notice of appearance and discovery demand of Nicholas Blount, dated the 24th of June, 2015. We think that might be worthy of at least consideration in this. And then also the court's order, the dates of these, I think, are important for Mr. Sloan's, Detective Sloan's testimony. And the defendant's omnibus application and order that was signed by this court, I believe, on July 6th, 2015.
And I actually have that.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And that's, I do allude to that in the letter. So that's partly why I felt that this, I think it's fair to say that regardless of this court's rulings, that this case probably will involve appeals. Okay? Regardless what the court decides. And so in the end, part of my job is to make as good a record as I can so that if there ever is an appellate review, the reviewing body has the information that it needs to say, Judge Colt, we agree, or Judge Colt, we disagree. I view that as my job. And so don't think there's really an opening statement necessary.
I don't have any opening statement. Really, we're here to answer the court's questions, so the state's ready to call Detective Sloan if the court's ready.
All right. Okay, so go ahead.
Okay, the state would call Detective Craig Sloan.
So, good morning, Detective. If you'll raise your right hand, please. Will you solemnly swear or affirm that the evidence and testimony you are about to give will be the truth?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you. Seat, please, the witness stand. By the way, Mr. Pigeon, I received your offer approved yesterday. I have that. It's also part of the electronic record.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Plyer, your name.
Thank you, Your Honor. Detective, just so it's in the record, can you state your full name and spell your last name?
Craig Sloan, S-L-O-A-N.
And how are you currently employed?
The Okanagan County Sheriff's Office.
What's your current rank or position?
A detective.
And how long have you been a detective?
July 99, I believe.
Were you involved in the investigation into James Fair's case?
Yes, I was.
Okay, and as part of your portion of the investigation, were you involved in the processing of cell phone or electronic device data?
Yes, I was.
What was the date of the incident of this case?
June 18th,
2015. Okay. And did you collect any cell phones from the scene?
One.
Okay. And where was that one located?
It was on the ground next to Deborah Long.
Okay. Did you collect that, I guess, the date of the incident or the following morning, whenever you guys were out there investigating?
We collected there when we processed the scene. The phone itself was not listed in the search warrant, but we took it because it was right next to the decedent.
Okay, and whose phone did you believe that to be?
Hers.
And did you ever find out if it belonged to anybody else?
It turned out it was Georgia Brontes' cell phone.
How did you find that out?
The following week, about 4 or 5 days later, I got a call from George Brontes' sister, who was over at Sacred Heart with him. She was calling to get his phone. She put him on the phone. And he was calling to get the money out of his pocket and his cell phone. And I told him we didn't have his cell phone.
Okay.
And I said the only one we took was the one next to Deborah, which we were in the assumption was hers. And I said, you should talk to the other people that were there and see if they got your phone. He said, I already have. They said, you have our phone. So I put him on hold, and I went to evidence, and I pulled it out, and I said, describe it. He described it as his phone. I said, it appears to be your phone. He gave me the number and said there was no password. I told him I'd get it to him as soon as I could.
And you said that was how long after?
It was on the 23rd of June.
The 23rd of June?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get a search warrant for his cell phone?
Yeah, later that day I got a warrant to.
And, okay. And did you, use the word search. When a cell phone is searched, explain that process, not in great detail, but generally how that process works.
On this particular phone, we have a software and hardware that we can extract data from the phone. Different models of phone extract different data. Some phones, our equipment will not work on, so you have to do it through manually and search and photograph. This particular one, I was able to extract the data off of it. And subsequently, we normally search it after we extract and compile it.
So does the extraction process include a visual observation or search of the data itself, or are you only taking data from the device and putting it somewhere else?
You take the device itself, and you run it through our hardware, and then you run that into a computer, and the computer has programs that will compile the data. When you do the initial extraction, it pulls it off, puts it on your computer, which at this point I was using my laptop computer, and then you have an extraction file. It'll open up, and the extraction summary shows you the model, make, the number assigned to it, that kind of thing.
Okay. Does the extraction summary include the data itself that you pulled off, or just the extraction data?
It pulls off the extraction data, and you can go in there and search through it. But what you do normally is you run a report, and then you can review this information in report format.
Okay, so I guess, is it safe to say that a cell phone, quote, dump or a cell phone search has two parts, the extraction and then the report?
The compilation
itself?
Yeah.
Okay. So you said that you got a search warrant. When did you actually extract the data from the phone?
It was the same day I got the warrant. I believe it was the 23rd of June.
Okay. And when you extracted the data on that date, did you also run the report at that time?
No. I looked at the extraction summary and verified it was Abrantes' phone number.
And you said Mr. Abrantes had requested his phone back. Did you return the phone to him?
The next day I FedExed it to him.
Okay. And did you check with anybody at the prosecutor's office before sending that off?
Yeah, I talked to Prosecutor Sloan and told him what was going on. And he said if we're done with the phone, we can send it back.
Okay. Was that the extent of the conversation?
Yes.
And where did you send the phone back to him at?
The address is where his sister was staying, close to Sacred Heart, via FedEx.
Okay. So at the time that you sent the phone back to Mr. Abrantes, had you run a report yet?
No.
And where at that point was the extraction data at? What device?
It was on my laptop computer.
What was the next thing you did with regard to this search or this data?
On the 12th of August of that year, I went to back up the extractions that I'd done to date on this case and another case to my Western Digital hard drive, which is an external drive from my laptop to that.
Okay.
During that process, I got a Trojan or ransomware virus that locked down my computer.
Okay. So prior to trying to back it up to the external device, had you accessed the extraction data at any point?
No.
Okay. And I guess describe just briefly the process of transferring the data from your laptop to the external. Is it a simple click and drag type of process, or how does that
Yeah,
does
you
that work?
Plug in the USB drive to the laptop, you open up the window for Windows Explorer, and you just select and open them over. They're big files, so it takes some time.
Okay. Some time like 10 minutes or some time like hours?
Hours.
Now, you mentioned that, was it during that transfer that you said your laptop became corrupted?
Yes.
Okay, and what made you aware that something was wrong with the device?
I got the blue screen. It says your computer's been locked. The files are encrypted. It was, at the time, it was one of the better ransomware programs out there. It was the one that originated in Russia. It was the real deal. It virtually encrypted all the files except for some system files.
Okay. What did you do at that point?
I called our tech guys down at Central Services right away and said, I got this virus going on. And, you know, at the meantime, I'm on my computer looking up the virus and what's the fixes. There is no fix on this one. I've had these before on devices, and usually there you can get through them. This one was a total lockdown on the encryption.
What did Central Services advise you to do?
They said, try and get everything that's not encrypted, which there is very little. None of the extraction folders, they were all encrypted. And so I took what I could, which was nothing related to anything on this case. Then I took my laptop to Central Services. They looked at it. They couldn't get through it. And they ended up having to wipe the whole drive and reinstall the operating system later that day, or the next day, I think it was.
And did Central Services do that process, our
yes.
local county Central Services?
Yes.
So based on, you said you tried to at least extract non-encrypted files, whatever you could get, between what was on the laptop and what, if anything, had, I guess, already made the transfer to the external, were you able to recover anything from Mr. Bronx's extraction?
No. I lost the extractions I'd done to date on that case and a fraud case I had before that had the extractions. I lost all that.
And when did Central Services actually wipe the laptop?
I believe I took it down there either that day or early the next morning, but they did it the next day, I believe it was.
Okay. And did you, I guess, report to anybody or tell anybody at the prosecutor's office?
No, the only record I could find is when I told you on April 25th of 18 is when I told you that I don't have any of this stuff.
Okay, and why, I guess, after you lost the data, why didn't you tell the prosecutor's office or anybody that we just didn't have this?
I went back through my notes. I can't find any record that I did contact the prosecutor's office and tell them.
Okay.
I lost everything.
Okay.
Because I knew at one point I was going to have to redo all these phones with exception of Bronze's because we didn't have it.
Okay.
I'd have to redo all these extractions.
Let me just clarifying. I think you said it, but just so it's in the record, what day was it that you notified myself?
April 25th of 18.
Okay. Your Honor, I have no more questions. I believe that answered everything the court had requested.
Mr. Pigeon, I have a couple of questions, but first go ahead. Do you have questions for Detective Sloan?
Yes, Your Honor. Now, when you did this extraction process, you said you did that to your laptop?
Yes, my work laptop.
And did that laptop have any antivirus protections or any kind of anti-spyware or anti-Trojan things?
Yes, it does.
What kind of system it had?
At the time, we've since switched, but I don't know what the one then was. Now we have... It's the county one that we use. We use the county. County manages all of our virus checkers and that kind of stuff. And they it updates automatically when we turn it on.
So the whatever protection you had was consistent with every other county computer?
Yes.
Okay. And then you indicated that when you ran the report, or that you did not run the report until August of 2015?
Correct. But I didn't run a report. I was moving the extractions from my laptop to my external drive, an external hard drive, the extractions themselves.
Did you ever run a report?
No.
So at no time did you know what was on that phone?
The only thing I knew was the number on the extraction summary was the number that George gave me. He gave me his phone number, and when the extraction pulled up, yep, that's his phone.
You indicated that the ransomware was the best virus.
At the time.
you recall which one it was?
No, I tried to find out the other day, but it was one that originated out of Russia. It was an encryption ransomware. It wasn't a quasi-encryption.
And do you know what the source of that ransomware was? Was that ever determined?
You mean how I got it?
Yeah.
I most likely got it from a cell phone.
Now, did you, since this time, have you had the opportunity to re-download data from a Deborah Long cell phone?
Yes, I have.
And did you have time to download data from Angela Fair's iPad?
Yes, I did.
Were there any other phones that you downloaded data from or extracted files from at this time?
Here, I'm going to object. This is beyond the scope of what we're here to address.
Well, it is, but I'm curious. I'm wondering if you're going to ask about any other ransomware or spyware on any of those devices.
That's exactly what I'm going to ask.
Objections overruled.
What's the question again?
Were there any other phones that you downloaded extraction files from at this time?
On this case?
Yeah.
Yes.
What other phones were there?
There was like three or four of them. Two of them, I believe, were not supported by our gear, so we had to do a manual, go through and photograph them. The ones that were supported, and these phones were all came out of the vehicle, subsequent search warrant later. Those extractions were lost as well, and I haven't rerun those yet. The ones I've rerun was Deborah Long's phone and the iPad we eventually got into.
Okay. And now I've got a couple of questions on the timing of these issues. At any time, to your knowledge, was information concerning this extraction and this process and the loss of this data ever conveyed to defense counsel?
Not that I'm aware of.
And was any attempt made by your office after you had lost this data to reobtain Abrante's cell phone?
No.
Was there any request made from the prosecutor's office to get the phone again?
I'm going to object that it's not something he would have personal knowledge of.
Well, Well, if he knows, he can answer.
Not that I'm aware of.
I might reserve a couple of follow-ups, Your Honor, if that's it.
Okay.
Now we're direct.
So, all right, I need a little bit of education. Detective Sloan, if you know, can you describe for the court and in general, I have kind of an idea of what ransomware is. Can you explain what is ransomware?
The particular one we're coming there, it's commonly sent through email attachments, right. An attachment, a digital attachment. A common way it gets into a system is somebody will send an email, and and they make it look like it, you should open the email. It could be, say, it's from the government or whatever. There's usually an attachment. When you hit that attachment and open that attachment, that's when it installs itself on your operating system.
It's a program, in effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
It attaches itself to your operating system.
Correct.
And so, in this case, you testified, I believe, that you felt like the ransomware came from the phone.
A phone. I don't know which phone it came from. Because I had numerous extractions that I was downloading from different phones, different cases.
Okay, so you're not sure that it came from Mr. Abramovich's?
No.
All you suspect is that it came from one of the devices that you tried to do the extraction from.
It could have, yes.
Can you think of somewhere else it might have come from?
It could have came from an email off of my system, something that I opened. However,
if you had inadvertently opened an email unrelated to this case.
Correct. Normally our virus software in the county system picks that up and quarantines it. But it's possible.
And so if you, Mr. Abramovich testified in his deposition that when he got the phone back from you, it operated just fine.
Okay.
At least as I recall. Knowing that, does that give you any opinion then about whether or not his phone would have had the ransomware on it?
Not if it was working. My best guess would be that it wasn't. The ransomware locked down my computer, my laptop.
But it wasn't downloaded. I'm just trying to figure out if it was downloaded from his phone to try and protect whatever might have been on.
I can't render an opinion on that. I haven't seen that before. I've been doing this for a while, and I haven't run into that before.
Platter?
Two follow-up questions, Your Honor, thank you. One, just so we're clear in the record, were you, Central Services, anybody ever able to figure out the source or where the ransomware came from? What program, what device it actually came from to get onto your laptop?
No.
Okay. And from the time that you picked up the cell phone out on the site, up until the time that you extracted the data, was it always in the secure?
It was in evidence.
Evidence, yeah. And had anybody else had access to it?
No.
I don't think that we are.
Mr. Pigeon?
Just one follow-up, Your Honor. Given that you didn't know the content of the phone, after you had learned on August 15th that the data was corrupted, why didn't you make an attempt to retrieve the phone from the Brontes again?
I didn't.
Nothing further.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't hear your answer.
I didn't. I made no attempt.
Sir, you can step down, and that's what I need. counsel, I think we should spend a few minutes talking about July 16 and whether or not everybody's set to go, assuming we go. And of course, if the court grants the motion to dismiss, then that question's moot. So, Platter, you have at least one witness that is out of state. We know that.
I believe I have three that are out of state. What I can tell the court is we had confirmed availability of at least the out-of-state witnesses for that setting. I had emailed the court my concerns about, just given everything that's going on, is it really practical to think that we are going to be ready for trial? The court advised that counsel should communicate and discuss potential trial continuance. I attempted to do so with Mr. Pigeon and never received any response regarding trial continuance. So I have not, just under the circumstances, have not secured plane tickets because frankly, with this motion outstanding, I have no idea what's going on. What I have confirmed is, at least so far, the out-of-state and Detective Sloan's availability for the August 7th setting, and was gonna be prepared. While I don't necessarily like doing it within Speedy, just moving within Speedy, because frankly I'm not getting any communication from defense counsel about whether this is agreed or what's going on. I will also tell the court that I just got another request from Mr. Pigeon wanting to access Mr. Fair's cell phone for review. So now we're getting additional discovery requests. Obviously it's not opposed to that, of course, but that's going to need to be set up. And of course, we'll take additional time. So I guess I'm requesting a continuance, but we still are going to be now having an issue of timing because now we have further defense requests that we're going to need to accommodate.
Pigeon, before I hear from you, part of the court's email was to advise of the availability of the week of the 23rd of July also. Pigeon, okay, from the defense's standpoint, ready to go or more time?
Your Honor, we are ready to go. My calendar will accommodate a court scheduling on the 23rd or August 7th, either one, but we are not prepared to waive our speedy trial.
Well, so, gentlemen, you tell me, but I don't really care. I do wonder if we're going to be able to get this case done in 5 days.
I think that depends in large part on the court's rulings on motions in limine.
When is time for trial?
Let's see. September 4th.
So, Mr. Platter, I think, maybe not directly, but I think the state has moved to continue.
The state is moving to continue, Your Honor. I just, with all the uncertainty, I did not arrange plane tickets for the 16th. I frankly didn't feel that, given the date of this motion, was going to be practical, and knowing the outside date. So my request is to continue to the August setting. I mean, we could call that July 31st, but I think we're better off to hard set it for the second week and try to get other trials done the first week. Since I'm open, what we've done is we've confirmed the availability for that second week. I expect that the out-of-state witnesses are available the first week of July 31st, but generally when we hard set for the second week, so that's what the request was.
And I think I also understood that you don't like it, but you would agree that this would be within time for trial.
What I wrote on my order is that I'm reserving on the issue just for the record, but for now we'll do it within speedy because my concern here is now we're getting to defense requests for additional discovery items. And if it's going to take time to facilitate that shouldn't be charged to the state. So So I want to reserve on it, but for right now, the speedy trial outside date would remain the same.
In other words, if whatever the information is that Mr. Pidgeon wants takes a prolonged period of time, then your point is the state shouldn't be penalized.
Correct, and we would be able to readdress this continuance based on that factor.
So, Mr. Pidgeon, what is the, is this just a physical inspection, or is it an electronic based?
It's just a physical inspection, Robert. Mr. Fair had a simple ZTE phone that is not password protected. We just basically want to charge the phone up and see if there are exculpatory text messages resident on the phone.
So you could probably do that today. Today?
Yes.
Probably need an hour to charge it up, or maybe a little bit more, but. So it seems to me, depending on the detective's phone's availability, maybe you could do that this morning. So, gentlemen, not to interrupt.
Sorry,
Detective Sloan. It's just a physical inspection this morning, hoping to see text messages on Mr. Fair's phone. So we'd probably have to charge it up for an hour. Would you be available, Detective, for that?
I need to call Spokane on a homicide case after this, as soon as we're done here.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's go plug in the phone, get it charging. You make your call. And then, say, at 1:30, could Mr. Pidgeon come find you?
Here, I have motions at 1:30 on other matters down in the jail courtroom.
Could he find you at 1? It's probably not going to take that long.
Well, special request, Your Honor. I think Detective Sloan said in his testimony that they had done photographs of what was on the ZTE phone.
Go ahead.
If that file still remains, we just request that file.
Possibility.
If that's what we did, because there was two phones, I believe, that weren't supported by our gear that we dismantled and went through and took photographs.
So I think the answer is we need to figure out if Mr. Fair's phone is one of those phones.
Right. And if it is, it's easy. If it's not, then my guess is the defense would still be entitled to it. And so, Detective Sloan, would you have time?
If it's the one that we've already photographed, that's already in the system. But I have to go back and look which phone has been prepared.
Well, seems to me the inspection is reasonable. I'm sure, I think he's entitled to it. And I think he would be entitled to any evidence that's on it. So I'm going to ask that be provided not later than a week from tomorrow, if not today. So looking at the calendar, to be provided not later than Friday, July 6th, okay? And so taking that into account, Mr. Platter, it seems to me the state's not being unduly penalized. I'm going to grant the motion, but not extend speed.
And right, and I understand. Well, I'm just marking it as reserved just because I already wrote it in
hand. In case something comes up.
Correct.
Right. That makes sense.
And so we're going to set it for, are we going to do the 6th? Because we talked about starting on a Monday, August 6th.
Right. The reason we can't do that, I don't think, because jury summonses would have been sent especially for the 16th. We did that months ago.
Okay.
The jury panels for August, those people have already been notified to expect to show up on Tuesday.
Okay, so I've got August 7th, July 23rd for status conference, if that works. And then I'm going to just go ahead and write in this.
I'm sorry, what was the status conference?
July
23rd,
does that work?
1 second.
July 23rd.
Monday, 8:30, telephonic appearance, Mr. Pidgeon, if you wish.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. And then, in the order, I'd like to put readiness on August 6th.
I wrote that.
And then trial on August 7th.
Yes, Your Honor.
Your Honor, I am sorry, but I feel like I could let you know my opinion of the the hard set is definite, but if we hard set it on the 31st instead of the 7th, if it happens to go more than a week, we'll just be running into another criminal trial week. And all of us know that a lot of times the first week everything goes away and we're left with the hard set on the second week. That's just
well,
what
Mr.
I
Clatter,
do observe.
What's the state's objection with starting on the 31st?
I don't necessarily have an objection. What I can say is I haven't seen the trial calendar for the 31st. We know that sometimes cases are set in that first week and their outside date is somewhere within that first week. So my concern there, of course, is starting this trial and then having some other case that we can't get to and would have to bump. I know in theory we can and have used the cure period, but I don't think anyone likes doing that.
Well, Ms. Warner is correct. We're going to have a bunch of unhappy jurors if they're sitting here on Friday afternoon of stampede. It doesn't matter to me, and it may not matter to any of us, but if we have jurors who are thinking about stampede instead of thinking about the trial, that's a concern. Pigeon, would you be available to start on the 31st?
Yes, I would.
And in fact, that's really just a two-week continuance from where we were set on the 16th. So let's back up and plan to start on the 31st. We'll keep the status conference. Mr. Platter, do you want to back that up to the 16th, or do you want to leave that on the 23rd?
I guess I'd rather back it up to the 16th. I'm going to start getting plane tickets and accommodations. The one thing I guess I want to say is, if we're still getting defense requested discovery, and we're hard setting this, and the state's getting plane tickets and lodging, what I don't want is those requests to continue and basically back the state into a corner and now claim, well, the state's not providing discovery, and now we've got a hard set date. So I'll raise that issue now, and if it becomes an issue, I'll bring it up. But that's, of course, the concern with discovery requests. The reason I'd rather go back to the 16th is just it gives more time, just in case.
Okay. Well, Mr. Pigeon, you were going to be available on the 16th for trial. I assume you have no objection to appearing telephonically for status on the 16th.
No objection, Your Honor.
Okay. So we're clear then, granting the motion to continue, setting it for trial now on July 31st. Readiness will be the 30th, and status conference on the 16th. Mr. Fair's outside time for trial expiration remains the same. And counsel, I'm going to, Mr. Platter, Mr. Pigeon, I'm going to ask the two of you to confer real quick, and let's try and make it work today for counsel to see the phone. Detective Sloan's got to make this other phone call, but perhaps there's another deputy or detective who could oversee an inspection.
Your Honor, our preference actually would be if Detective Sloan does have photos of what he downloaded during that day, that would be our preference in terms of the response to the discovery request, because it's the state's own photos, so
right.
Well, for us,
it's just when he tells me that it's in the system, then I'm surprised that you don't have it.
It's been 3 years, Your Honor.
Well, I know, but I don't know what a CTE phone is.
It's a Chinese-built prepaid phone.
Okay. All right. Well, again, we should be able to tell pretty quickly, but in terms of priorities, I want him to be able to make this on the side. Apparently, I don't know what that's about, but let him do that, and then my guess is he'll work to facilitate this meeting as soon as possible.
Your Honor, one last thing, if possible, before we leave this hearing. I would like to remind the court in our offer of proof that, again, in our motion to dismiss, that we raised separate issues on exculpatory evidence. some of that exculpatory evidence did include text messages between Georgia Brontes and Deborah Long. Now, Deborah Long's cell phone in the recent data dump does not show any of those text messages. Yet, Mr. Brontes, by the way, I do have a courtesy copy of the deposition if the court does not have it.
Is that the one you quote from in your offer of proof?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
Yeah, so I assume you've given me what you feel are the relevant sections.
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
And but because of that, we know that Mr. Brontes did, in fact, admit on oath during the deposition that he had deleted text messages between him and Deborah Long as recently as 2 weeks prior to the deposition of June 13th of this year. And as a consequence, again, I'm just going to come back and point to this because I feel it's, I need to say this to the court. There is a proximate cause here, a proximate cause of this returning of the cell phone to Georgia Brontes allowed this information in his hands for him to delete at will. And had the Sheriff's Department obtained the phone in evidence like they did all the other cell phones that were associated with this incident, we'd still have this evidence today and we'd still be able to retrieve it, particularly in light of the detective's testimony that he does not believe that the ransomware virus was resident on Mr. Bronte's phone. If the phone was still in the possession of the Sheriff's Department, we would be able to ascertain what those text messages were that Mr. Brontes deleted just recently.
You make that argument, I think, in your offer. I am curious. It seems to me the court either will either deny the motion to dismiss or grant it. Okay. I don't really see how. I don't see what the court could suppress effectively as an alternative remedy. And yet you make that motion and you make the same arguments. Can you tell me what remedy would there be? What could the court suppress under these circumstances?
Yeah, and the answer is, Your Honor, I mean, you're right. There is nothing that the court could suppress under these circumstances. I mean, the truth is that what evidence remains is what is on the table. And there's no evidence that we're intending, there's no evidence that we are fearful of.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you, and I know you haven't thought about this, but I'm going to ask you to consider withdrawing the motion to suppress.
No problem, Your Honor.
Okay. That way I don't have to try and figure out the legalities of it and what it might entail. Because it just seemed to me from the start that it wasn't necessary. There wasn't any way I could deal with it. It's all or nothing. Okay.
Here, one other question. We previously had discussed, and I think this court had suggested, if Mr. Brontes still has the cell phone, why don't we get it back and do it again? I think after that is when we got the information that it was potentially, quote, wiped. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't do that. Instead, we sort of went down this other path with the deposition and this hearing. I guess looking for guidance from the court as far as, is that something that the court is requesting we do at this point, or is this, I guess, what we're doing right now, the alternative to that that process? It doesn't appear from the deposition that it was you know, wiped in the actual sense of the term. It just, everything was deleted independently. So I guess in theory, it's not impossible that there could be something left on the phone. However, it's probably unlikely this far in the future. So I'm not sure.
I'm going to let you decide that. I'm not ordering it today. And I guess if defense wants to move for an order, you can do that. But I think the deposition pretty well covered all of that. So I appreciate your asking the court, but I'm not going to rule on it.
Okay.
I'll leave it.
should make sure your signature, sir, lower right-hand corner.
Okay.
Any questions about what this means for you?
Okay.
So, of course, you're not in court here for trial anyway. On July 16th, we've stricken that. You'll be at Mr. Pigeon's office, as you've been before, for the telephonic appearance, unless both of you choose to come over for that. But it doesn't make much sense to come over for a five-minute hearing, or even a half-hour hearing, I guess. But I'll let you decide. So for the record today, the court's signing the amended order, setting dates as we have discussed, dating of today, 28th of June. We'll have copies, counsel, for each of you. And with that, Mr. Platter, anything else?
Just when does the court anticipate issuing a ruling? I mean, I hate to ask, but just so we have an idea.
Right. Well, I will tell you this. Again, for purposes of the record, any appellate review, I anticipate making extensive findings. And then it's going to both of you in your legal memorandums cite a number of cases that set forth the standard for lost or destroyed evidence. And the court's going to have to engage in what I think is going to be a lengthy analysis. And we know next week is a short week, and it'll, to some degree, depend on trials that second week of July. But my hope is to have a written decision due both of you by the middle of the month. Even if the decision is not done, it should be far enough along that I'll for planning purposes, well, let me back up. For planning purposes, as soon as I have my decision, it may not be typed, but as soon as I have my decision, I will let you know. Okay.
And I would appreciate that so that we can work on travel arrangements.
Right. I'm absolutely mindful of the, really, the requirements on both sides, the trial prep involves. You both need to know as soon as possible, no question about that. And so while you might not have the court's full written decision, you'll have the decision, and that's what you need to work off of in terms of trial prep. Really, the discussion, you know, the court's written decision, that will come into play later. Again, if there's an appeal. All right. Okay, and with that, Mr. Platter, anything else?
Mayor, thank you.
Did you get anything else?
Nothing, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. We're in recess.